ask someone to make a motion to open the meeting?
I make the motion we open the meeting.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Now declare the meeting open. We'll start with introductions. Corporal Vince Griggs tonight is handling our audio for us in lieu of Brad, who's not able to be here. Beverly, yay. My name's John Lynn. I'm the vice chairman for the Animal Services Advisory Committee. Just ask everybody, just starting over to the left over here, introduce themselves.
I'm Carol Roop.
I'm Patty McDuff.
Beverly Hargis.
Donna Young.
Brian Jill.
Mike Marstel, right here in the County Sheriff's Office.
And thank you, everyone, for coming in tonight. Mike, you had somebody.
Yes, I'd like the board to meet our Sheriff's Department staff attorney. This is Jason Smith. And, of course, most, if not all, will know Sergeant Paul Blackwell. He's in charge of animal enforcement. But Jason Smith will be adjudicating or prosecuting, if you will, on dangerous dog determinations on behalf of the Sheriff's Office, like Sarah did.
Okay.
Plus, being counsel and everything else, he can answer questions that we may have about legality issues of things, or he may refer it to
Russ,
thank you, and let us know accordingly. So it'll be a big help there.
Will you be attending our meetings? And,
some of them. I'm not sure I'll be attending all of them. As I've spoken with Russ, if there's issues that deal with just, you know, advice to the county, to the board on behalf of the county, it probably will come from his office still. But given the fact that there's that the officers are oftentimes, in fact, most all times, are the ones bringing the cases with regard to the dangerous dogs, we determined it made sense for me as the sheriff's attorney to represent the sheriff and kind of present the case to the board. Certainly we can answer questions and speak to the law, but again, if there's an issue where we're advising the board, it probably needs to come from the county attorney, just given the fact that my role is to represent the sheriff in the sheriff's office, which is technically separate from the county. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
That answers the question. Sure.
I'm assuming you'll be there in the one we're having in about 3 or 4 weeks then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Good deal.
Plan to be there for that.
Bring biscuits.
Okay.
That's in the evening. Bring burgers.
Right. I thought biscuits were for the dog.
No.
I thought that wasn't well,
so I'll bad. Well, No.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. Well, we at this point, we usually open for public comment. If anybody from the public has any comments, good. Okay. Then at this point, we'll move, since nobody from the public's here for comment, we'll move on to our notes from last go around. We made a change at one of the last meetings that our audio files of our meetings are now posted online for public previewing, and anybody can go in, listen, download, do whatever. So at this point, we don't have, we don't need to approve any of our previous meeting notes. They're available. So on to that. The one discussion item we had on the agenda tonight was the chaining and tethering. This is something we've worked on for the last two meetings. It was brought up at the one in January, I think, or was it the one prior? It was the one prior to that in October. And then we discussed it a little bit more in January and everything. And this go-around, Patty, we've all been in on the emails and everything, and Patty sent a copy of the county code here with some of the, you know, proposed areas where we might make a change or might suggest a change to the Board of Commissioners and everything. And I guess at this point right now, we could go ahead and talk about that, since that's pretty much that is our agenda tonight. So, and on the, it consisted of like four pages, I think. There was, if anybody has any copies of the ordinance, it was like pages 5, 7, 8, and Was there one more in there, Patty?
I'm not remembering offhand. I printed them out.
Yeah, I was thinking it was. I was thinking it was pages 5. No, here's the other one, 14.
Okay, 5,
7, 8,
and
14. 5, 7, 8, and 14. Those were the ones I knew there was another one in there. I just barely.
This is the county code.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And this goes back to the discussion we've had, if I recall from previous meetings that we've had, we were talking about how there might be a little bit of resistance as far as any type of change because we're such a rural county and all that other stuff. I know Lieutenant Marsteller had talked a little bit about their side of it as being complaint driven with anything as far as animal cruelty and whatnot. It's basically complaint driven. Where do we want to start with this?
Well, I think you all may have received an email I sent after the January meeting, which detailed what other counties in the state have done in regard to this. And then I sent out also the ordinance with suggested revisions. I asked for any feedback or questions, and I didn't receive any, so I didn't think you wanted
job
to discuss
well
it
done.
Before.
Job well done.
Thank you.
Is what it meant.
But I thought, well, perhaps, they're holding questions or if there was any discussion for the meeting. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, please just voice how you feel. If you any thoughts on the suggested revisions or any other thoughts, again, concerning what perhaps other counties have done. I know that, and I believe this came up at our last meeting, that the city has a legislation, I guess, or ordinance with regard to it, but it involves a time zone. A time period, relative to dogs being allowed, and that is problematic for those trying to enforce that particular law or part of the law. And so the recommendation I would like to make is that there is no time, that just that dogs are not tethered or on a leash, on a chain, on anything without the owner being present. And I guess that would be a yielding to perhaps seniors who are not able to walk their dogs and yet want them to be outside for a certain period of time. I don't know. I would want to yield to any members of our community for whom that could be an issue. But essentially, and we heard the two ladies from Unchained Hendersonville talk about the situations that are faced when dogs are faced with or have their spend their lives on a chain. So that those would be my recommendations, and again, as shown in the ordinance. And I'd be happy to go through that with the committee if you'd like. Or
with what? Your suggested changes on it? I agree with you, and I think that especially the city, because you're not out in the rural, it's going to be another issue to be dealt with. And if there were certain exceptions, that seems like it might be a much smarter approach than because to me, and I might be really wrong on this, but I mean I'm an older woman and I have a dog and I walk, okay, but I'm not disabled or handicapped, and if you have a dog, there's a certain responsibility.
If I had to walk a dog right now in my present circumstances, I could not walk a dog.
But
I would have to tether a dog.
Okay, then you might be under one of the exceptions that we were talking about.
You can't do an exception when you're going out to... Am I wrong? It has to be black and white. When you make a law, you can't make exceptions to the rule. You
or
have
you
to say,
age,
yeah, you can't do that
because,
oh, my grandpa lives here. This is his house. Or am I wrong, Marsteller?
That's correct.
So what would you suggest?
My whole debate is that they've not asked us for this. This is something we're just doing on our own. Right? I don't think we have to make any decisions. I think this is one of those things that everybody ought to, you know, kind of come up with ideas and everything and just not push the boat right now. I think we ought to just kind of keep this on our forefront and then be prepared when the commissioners do ask us for it, because they will be asking for it, but they're not asking right now.
Right. They're not. I mean, if I may. And again, I look at it as I believe that we have good laws and ordinances in place, not just on the state law, but in local ordinance that addresses any type of mistreatment that comes along with, be it tethering, shelter, food, or anything of that nature that's going to put the dog in any kind of danger or distress unduly, that we already have, and it gets enforced. So why would we, and it works, let's just be honest.
And the other thing, too, if I may, the sections that chaining and tethering guidelines were mentioned had to do with, you know, on page 516.8, had to do with public nuisances.
Mm-hmm.
On page 7 there, that had to do with keeping a dog that's been deemed a dangerous dog.
Mm-hmm.
On 1611, on page 8, they were talking, you know, this actually does define a standard for chaining, which that goes along with what Mike was talking about with the mistreatment and everything. They, you know, it says basically suitable length, designed and placed to prevent choking or strangulation, with the area free of obstacles and humanely clean so that the animal may have access to food, water, and shelter. You know, chained, yes, but, you know, not chained 3 feet off the ground, you know, 3 feet of chain on the ground and everything. That's cruel. But having, you know, having a dog, I mean, this is just my opinion, but having a dog on a 20-foot chain or having a dog on a run where they can run between, you know, 20 yards of trees or whatnot with a chain attached or a tether attached, just in my mind, that's not cruel to me. It's just not.
I drive by a house on Brooklyn. I don't know if you all know where Brooklyn is, between Spartanburg and Greenville,
mm-hmm,
Highway, and there's a dog chained there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've slowed my car down several times. I've wanted to photograph it and really ask, is this what you would consider? Was it humanely clean? So my way of thinking, no. But, of course, that's subjective. You know, what I consider clean might not be what somebody else considers clean. Are you familiar with the house at all? Or?
We've just basically impounded an animal from that location, if it's the same one we're thinking of.
It's the only one I know of on Brooklyn.
Right. But that, let me just say for the record, is in the city limits of,
mm-hmm,
Hendersonville.
And again, Mike, I recognize that because of the time limit put on the city's ordinance.
And
that
animal was impounded at their request, if you will. We're working in conjunction with them for that particular event. It's not in our jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in the city's jurisdiction.
No,
and they have these tether laws.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not working. In that light.
Let me ask you, is it, from your standpoint of enforceability, is it better, not better, is it easier for the ordinances to be more clearly defined as to what's acceptable in terms of exceptions, or is it better to have a broader ordinance, kind of like what's already in place, in terms of enforceability? I guess, you know, when I look at some of these, you know, especially this ordinance from Gulf of North Carolina, I think, you know, if you're going to define tethering laws, you do have to have these exceptions if you're going to be specific. But then when I start thinking about this, if any of these ordinances are ever challenged, how do you determine whether a chain is 10% of a dog's body weight?
Right.
Unless you're carrying around a scale and ready to defend that. So that's my question in terms of enforceability, and I think that's what this boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easier to have a broader ordinance or something that outlines 15 different exceptions and to see whether this particular case falls within one of these exceptions?
What I feel, as far as it's a good question, and what I feel that's been working with the enforcement side of this ordinance is having a good baseline of what's important, what we're looking for, and specifics as far as the food, the shelter, and everything of that nature. But then also under the nuisance, or not nuisance, but the neglect, having that animal neglect portion in our ordinance. That's, again, gives our deputies discretion what a reasonable person would believe is neglectful, not necessarily a group of folks that believe that this is completely off the grid, and not necessarily a group that says we don't need any laws. It's that blend, that mixture of allowing a reasonable person, an officer, who sees it at all different levels all across the county and can make a determination of, all right, that's not acceptable. I'm going to photo document this. We're going to take action according to this animal neglect, and here's how we can fit that in there because of these circumstances, the cleanliness, the length of their chain, you name it. These are all reasons why this animal is being neglected. That, to me, is what we enforce and why it is enforceable. But now, if we go in the black and white letter wrote of a zoomed in, this shall be this weight, this length, this type, now that's going to, okay. What if there's nothing else wrong with the animal but the, what would be good, okay, a swivel. Let's say there's nothing else wrong with any of the environment, but there's not a swivel on there. Is a swivel a good idea? Yes. If it doesn't have a swivel, can you not tell them, hey, you need to get a swivel? But are we going to get out and from the road, there's nothing else wrong, and say that doesn't have a swivel? Boop, you know, here you go. Cool. You see my point.
Absolutely.
And so we have, I guess what I'm saying is as our ordinance, the way it's set up right now, I'm very happy with. It's served the citizens well. It's not burdening a certain group, be it elderly, disabled, or anything else. It's not putting it in a box to say you can't do this, or if you do this, you're going to have to be an exception to this rule. I think it's spelled out to where we can literally take when things are bad here and apply it and fix it with what we have.
And I appreciate that, Mike. I think the only thing that I'm coming from is I don't believe putting a dog on a chain and having that be the sum and substance of the dog's life.
Okay. Now, I respect your belief in that. I get it. I truly do. I understand that that's how you believe.
Oh.
But I can't, and whether I agree with you or not, I'm not going to say either way, but my point is whether I agree or not, I can't take that belief and apply it to everybody in this county because of the financial burdens and different people's circumstances. I personally wouldn't feel right about doing that.
Wouldn't feel right about, I want to be clear,
about saying that you cannot tether in any way, shape, or form for any amount of time other than exceptions because of what you believe in that light. I think there's going to be some folks that can afford it, some that can't, some that have a reason to, some that will do it well, some that won't. The ones that don't, they're going to fall into a category that we'll be able to handle according to our ordinance as it is.
Devil's advocate. What if you want a dog really bad and you get a dog, but you can't afford to feed the dog? I mean,
well, it would be, again, that would be, you'd be charged, if you didn't feed the animal, you'd be charged with neglect.
But I mean, like with the tethering, you know, if people who can't, there, just because you can't afford something doesn't mean that you should have something.
Right? Okay, but I
disagree.
Yeah.
I have parents that live on disability, or not disability, excuse me, they're retired and they live on retirement. And I see a lot of people come into the clinic to the point that we've actually tried to do something to help these guys out. They may not have money to do dentals and stuff like that that's needed on their animals, but they try their hardest and do their best to provide for those animals. So I don't feel like they should be penalized for having something around that they care about. Kids are grown, nobody in the house, all they got is their pets. They should not be penalized. I'm sorry, I will totally disagree with that one.
Penalized with what?
Yeah,
by not saying that because they don't have the money to,
they
shouldn't,
have a dog.
They shouldn't have a dog.
I'm talking about necessities. I'm talking about,
well, a fence is not a necessity.
No.
I mean, I'd rather see them put money into their own food in the cabinet or something like that, or their medical bills or something like that. And if they have to tether their dog, they have to tether it.
And tether it, but like without limit? Just keep them out?
No, I'm happy with this. I'm happy with this.
Well, for the county, there is no time. You know, it is just an allowable. It is allowable, again, as specified. And I guess the difference is, you know, do you see that as acceptable and or do you not? And I guess the
most
difference
of these
is
people that, I mean, I know there's exceptions to the rules, but I see a lot of people that love their dog, but that's the only options they have. I mean, they love their dogs.
Because we do have a county ordinance that says they can't leave their property.
But
yeah. I guess, you know, it comes down to really whether perhaps those who believe that tethering is
And to be honest with
not
you,
acceptable.
It is a total different ball game when you work with the clients every day, is it not? And when you work with their animals every day. We see everything, we hear everything, do we not? I mean, all of us.
Well,
it's a lot easier than just driving by and looking at things.
And I keep using that example because I brought it up last time because I do have clients. They're older. They want their dogs not to have to live their entire existence in the house. They can't get to a park. They can't walk them. I mean, maybe they can walk them down to the mailbox and back. So what do you do with that individual? Say, well, build a fence. Well, maybe their HOA, their homeowner association won't allow it. So that's kind of my point. Either if you proceed with a tethering ordinance, I think the list of exceptions has to encompass essentially every conceivable exception that you can come up with. Campers, what do they do? I mean, they can't let their dog run loose. They're camping for 2 days. Do they not tether? It's against the law. So you have to make that an exception.
Present.
Sure.
Right.
So you have to come up with every one of these exceptions, and then that was my question. Once you have all these exceptions, whether it be a certain type of a length of tether, swivels on the ends, a certain weight. So once you come up with that, how enforceable does that become? Pretty soon they're spending an hour, 2 hours, measuring, weighing, you know. I'm not sure how doable that is. Yeah.
I think I come from the point, though, that it shouldn't be an issue for the law enforcement. It shouldn't be an issue because it shouldn't be allowed.
So,
but that's, again, in my feeling is I would yield to tethering like campers with the owner present.
If you're present. So are you saying that it's okay to tether a dog for however long you want to do it, night or day?
But we can't enforce the time limit.
No,
so
I'm asking if you're not, I'm just trying to get a feel for where what you guys are saying. If you're not present. I mean, I guess I don't see a reason for a dog to be out 24 hours a day. And if you're not present, I'm not sure that I would agree, and this is another issue I know, that the dog should be loose anyway. I mean,
how long? An hour? Or
for what? Well, I don't know. See,
be
I
out
think
on
that a six-year-old in Etowah
on a runner
who was killed by the dog. So
for an hour or hour, 2 hours?
To what?
To be outside without the owner standing right there. If they're on a run, do you?
Well, if they're on a run, they're contained, right?
Yeah, run would not be the tether. That'd be different. Again, unless I'm defining it wrong.
Okay.
But again, my
again, that has to be spelled out.
Yes, yes. But
so, all right, so they have a one of the little corkscrew things in the ground.
This one.
And so is that acceptable?
To
and
to
for how long?
To me, no. Not without the presence of the owner.
On the property. I mean, it doesn't have to be standing right next to the dog.
No, I agree. On the property, yeah.
Somebody that walks into a store and the store doesn't, they're out walking their dog, and I know this is Hendersonville, so it doesn't really apply to the county, but they leave their dog attached to a park bench for 10 minutes. Is that acceptable? while they go in the store.
I would never do that, but
I'm not sure how safe it is for people,
too. I have two dogs.
Too.
I would never do that, Brian.
You know, for people who are walking around.
I'd be too afraid of my dogs being stolen.
Sure.
So
I mean, but I see that. I see dogs that are just sitting there next to the bench, tethered to the bench, you know, while their owners are
Main
in. Yeah, in Main Street. Walk down Main Street. I'm not sure I'm going to say that those owners are bad owners, but, you know.
I don't want to make a judgment about that.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, I think if you're going to have this ordinance, you have to go through all these conceivable exceptions in terms of how to enforce it, and then put the onus on the department to go out and enforce it. And that was my question. You know, is that enforceable, or how laborious is that? And is it better to have a very restrictive but a long list of exceptions to this ordinance?
Well, do you agree with any of the other counties? And
I think the ones that came the closest to spelling out the exceptions were, like I said, either Davidson, but also Guilford County.
Also, what was the other one?
Guilford County.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think there were maybe 15 exceptions on that list. Yeah, and so from that standpoint, I think you have to kind of fall in line with one of those ordinances if you're going to push forward this ordinance. Yeah. And then it becomes an enforcement issue.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is 10%, the chain not being 10% more than the body weight of the animal.
But then again, it's common sense right now, and what a reasonable person would believe, regardless of what percent, if the chain's too big for the dog. We deal with that. We can handle that now and take corrective action now, which I believe is the spirit of what y'all are trying to do or accomplish. That's happening now. It's not broken. We're not trying to address something that we've been asked to address that's broken, that we have a huge public outcry about. I guess that's where I'm standing, is we've got a good law, we've got good ordinances that's enforced, we have good teams that are enforcing it.
This is just my opinion, but I look at this as trying to find a solution for a problem that is either A, non-existent, or B, is already being addressed with our current ordinance. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, to me, this is kind of, you know, wheel spinning here, just because of what Mike said. You know, we've got an ordinance already in place that addresses animal cruelty, it addresses neglect. You know, maybe seeing a dog out on a chain is not my favorite thing either, you know, but the ones that are not my favorite thing are the pit bulls that have about this much chain that can reach, you know, that can't even, their butt can't even reach the grass to do their business. That's what I have a problem with. But at the same time, like Mike said, we've got an ordinance that they can take care of that.
Yeah, because it's complaint driven. Yeah. You say this animal is tethered too short and it can't do what he's discussing and describing. When one of my officers goes out there, yep. That's right, and here's why that's neglect, and then we've got it covered.
I guess what it comes down to, and I will yield, you know, we'll have to yield according to the vote of the committee. I know what you're saying with regard to how the ordinance is currently written, and that it gives you enough ammunition to work with, and that's important. That's really important. I mean, I think that's what we're here to do is obviously to support you and support the commissioners and the people of the county. But I guess the difference is, to me, and that's the only reason why I brought it up for discussion, I may be the only one who feels that way, although I think from what Carol says, she may feel somewhat similar. But to me, it is not acceptable, period, to see a dog on a chain, on a tether, without being attended to. In other words, without the owner being present. That is just not acceptable to me. And to me, that's not responsible dog ownership. But again, t- to me, it just speaks to almost cruelty, you know, that your dog should have to live like that. But that's, again, that's where I'm coming from. And that may not be, again, the majority of the committee's feelings, and that's fine, but that's why I wanted to bring it up, you know, so that it would be discussed and, you know, we'll move on. I don't want to, you know, belabor it or, you know, we adjourn in 5 minutes, I'll be really happy. But, I'm serious. I wanted it to be brought up. We had the lady speak, or the two ladies speak from Unchained Hendersonville. Obviously, we dealt with the...
Well, I think, Patty, everyone respects your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. We know where you're coming from and feel very adamant and passionate about that. And I think that's great that you've aired that. I think, you know, maybe it's best at this point just to say, you know, are we in favor of moving forward and changing this ordinance or asking for changes, or are we okay with where the ordinance stands today with the enforcement and things that we already have in place?
And so we're asked, is that someone said that earlier, since we hadn't been asked to review or recommend that we wait until we are? And then address it at that
if,
time.
If it comes up in the future, if somebody from the board says, okay, you guys need to take a look at this because we've had concern and whatnot, then absolutely take a look at it, you know. But outside of that...
In my tenure on the committee, I have never been aware of the commissioners asking us to look at something. Are you at all aware of that?
That happened before. You remember when we were doing that huge, huge change right when you and I first started a couple of years ago?
Okay.
That they had gone
was
through that.
Was that commissioner-driven?
Yes,
okay.
That one
I
was.
And it's not that everything has to be, quote, commissioner-driven in that light. If there's problems and everything else, any of it, just like this, it's understandable that you want to bring it up. My point isn't to stifle it, but... All right, I make a motion that we accept the ordinances as written and not take it to the county commissioners.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Yeah. Okay, the ayes carry it then. Mm-hmm. So at this point...
I just want to say I thank you all, and I mean that very sincerely, that you've allowed me or Carol or anybody else, and obviously yourself, Mike, to speak to this and to be receptive. And I want you to know this came up in about a year or two ago, and it wasn't as well received. And what I've noticed it in difference, I greatly appreciate, because you have been open to hearing.
We all respect your opinions.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we all have one in our personal, but I think from this side of the table right at the moment, we are thinking, you know, you guys deal with folks every day from a bigger pool than the four of us,
mm-hmm.
and see different situations that come about. But I think Mike's group handles this very, very well. And if you, you know, obviously see a specific case, they're going to go out and address those. And that should be for
well, everybody. But as I understand, the dog that I had a question about, the one in Brooklyn, that issue has been addressed.
I will defer that question. You may address that to the sergeant sitting there and ask him.
Okay. Please do. Yes, ma'am. We have dealt with these dogs before,
okay.
Several times. One of the dogs was picked up the other day due to a bite where someone had come to the house at night. And according to what she said, she was bitten 3 times by the dog. This gentleman's dogs were recently taken. We actually went out and transported the dogs in for the city. It wasn't on us because it's in the city limits.
Mm-hmm.
They were transported to the shelter. Once this was all said and done, we found that it would, or they found, let me put it that way, we didn't have a dog in that fight. They found that it would be better to, I'm sorry, that it would be better to
hard
give
to
the owner the dogs
down.
Back.
Oh my God.
That's a sticky situation, sir. That's a sticky situation. On your tethering laws, and I too appreciate your opinion, I've worked at this job now approximately 1 year and 8 months. We have had one situation where we had a dog that was in dire distress. We handled that. They were charged with felony charges, which did, it went through court, and they were charged and convicted of felony animal cruelty. I have seen dogs in my experience here tethered or chained in better shape than dogs that lived in houses.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, on that same situation where we had an animal cruelty, the dog was in bad shape. The chain had actually grown into the neck. It was a bad situation. Mm-hmm. There was a small dog inside that was almost what I would call in worse shape than the dog that was outside on the chain. So we see it all over, every day. We have numerous calls. We do health and welfare checks on several dogs every day. Sometimes we do get calls that are kind of borderline with the food, water, and shelter. Most of the time, it's been in my experience, we can speak to the owner and they correct the problem. So I have to agree that due to the expense of someone keeping a dog inside or having to build a fence to keep one in, I've seen several dogs that were actually inside fences that weren't as good a shape as some dogs that I have seen tethered. Mm. So I'm definitely in agreement that the way things stand right now, yeah, it's pretty good.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I think something else I've noticed over the few years that I've been on the board is I've learned to look to these guys, and I'm talking about the animal control officers. If one of them comes forward, and this goes to the whole, you know, do we present it to the Board of Commissioners, or are we looking for them or them for guidance or whatnot? If these guys are the ones who do this every day, if they come to one of our meetings here, if they come to a committee meeting and say, we're having a problem with this right here and we feel that it needs to be addressed, and would you guys be willing to look into it and everything and maybe talk about it or whatnot, we might not get it something from the board saying that we would like you to look at something, but I'm looking to these guys as being the first source of people who are going to come back and say something that, you know, since they do it every day, they're going to be the ones who are going to come and say, we're having a problem with this, and maybe this is something you guys need to look into because we're seeing this right here and it's causing a problem and there's nothing in the ordinance that covers it, so our hands are tied, we can't do anything, and is there any, you know, maybe you guys might want to look into it. At that point right there, that's when I kind of look at it and say, in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you know, if these guys can't do anything about it and an animal's being neglected and there's nothing in here that covers that, then we definitely need to address it. Mm-hmm. But this is something that they've said repeatedly that it's not a problem. So at that point right there, that's when I look at it, and that's why I said what I said earlier about how I kind of felt we were spinning our wheels with this, because it's not really a problem that they're seeing. And it's you know, it's bringing something, it's almost looking for that solution to a problem that's not really a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like I say, I'm not fond of seeing them on chains either, but as long as they're being taken care of, you know, and they're not neglected, then, you know, how much or how little freedom do you give people to handle their animals? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just what I see. All right, we already we took a vote on that. We're going to leave things as are. That was good. We're going to leave things as is and not move forward on that. We'll consider this done at this point. This is all we had on the agenda tonight. The next meeting is July the 14th at 5:30. And outside of that, does anybody have anything else that they want to bring up while we're here?
James Barbel is your daddy.
Oh.
Kaylee Irene Barbel.
Oh.
About yesterday at 5:30. So he has
a card.
Does anybody, before we do all that, does anybody have anything else we want to bring up tonight? Does anybody anything while we're still here in the official meeting? At this point, then I'll ask someone to make a motion to close our meeting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
My second.
Thank you.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Our meeting is now officially closed.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight.